quick. What do you get when you take four guys who were born between like 1965 and 1970, you put them on a boat for 13 hours out on the Gulf Stream, and my phone is hooked into the Bluetooth on the boat? You get a 1980s rock concert for 10 hours. Oh, man, what a great time. Yes, Thursday out on the Gulf Stream with some friends. Man, just, yeah, it was funny. It really was. You get four different guys singing the melody and nobody's on key. But it doesn't matter because there's nobody else to listen except for a few flying fish, a couple of birds. Did see a couple of man of wars out there, so that was kind of, you know, glad they're way out there offshore right now. But, hey, welcome into Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz. You're listening to 94.5 WTTK, The Answer in Greenville. And put your seatbelts on because this is going to be a quick show. I mean, well, it's going to still be an hour long, but it's going to be fast because we've got a lot to cover. And we've got some great guests, which means it's going to go very fast. We're going to talk to Chris Baxter from Zoom. He's the general manager at Zoom, Chris Baxter Fishing. He fishes professionally, about the upcoming Georgia Ovarian Cancer and Cancer Association of Anderson's, fishing tournament Hooked on Hope, June 3rd. We're also going to, I caught up with Henry Barnett yesterday down at Green Pond Landing. I was there for the Palmetto Boat Center High School Classic. Got a bunch of high schoolers fishing Lake Hartwell yesterday and today. And I caught up with Henry down there to talk about boating safety. You know, Memorial Day weekend, next weekend, you know, you need to be safe out there. So we got that. And then we're going to talk to Matt Schell about the Saluda River Rally in the last seven or eight minutes of the show. So it's going to be really fast. But it's going to be really good, really informative. Hope you'll listen. I hope you enjoy it. It's been fun putting it together. But, yeah, we went offshore Thursday. A really depressing week as far as wildlife goes from my standpoint. I talked to one guy for an hour about the decline of the eastern wild turkey, and we went offshore in May, which normally is you load the boat up with, you know, good 10, 15, 20-pound dolphin, and we had – six hits, boated four, had two breakoffs. And we got back to the dock, and there's a gentleman there with a clipboard and all. He's doing a dolphin survey, and he says the dolphin have been in decline for 3 years now. So what do you do? I don't know. But it was a really depressing week as far as the wildlife side of the show goes. But we did have a good time. The big blue ocean is still out there. It was really sloppy going out. Took us 3 hours at 18 miles an hour to get to where we wanted to drop lines in. That's 3 hours of holding on for dear life because it was 4 to 5 footers, mixed sets, waves with no backs, waves with backs. And, of course, we ran it at 39 miles an hour, so it really laid down nice. But, you know, lots of flying fish. No sea turtles this time around. There's some right whales out there. We didn't see those. Saw some pilot whales. The one dolphin I broke off was a beauty. Blue back, white sides. He jumped like 5 times. Beautiful. But, hey, that's what you do. That's what you do. Hey, real quickly, did you catch Bassmaster? What happened yesterday on Bassmaster when they're in Texas fishing and they had a tie for 12th between Gerald Swindle and Casey Ashley, and only the top 12 fished the last day. So it's by single day weight. Gerald Swindle edged out Casey Ashley to fish the top 12 by 1 ounce. I started to call Casey yesterday and say, hey, you sure one of your fish didn't cough up a thread fin or something you could have stuffed back in him? Of course, that's against the rules. But anyway, Britt's 41st, Marty's 44th, and he finished 90th. He took a real pounding. And then on the FLW side, Todd Alton's in 7th, Brian Latimer finished 22nd, Anthony Gagler already 34th, and Brandon Cobb 43rd. So the South Carolina guys are doing really well this year, really well. Bo, show's already over. I told you it was going to be a quick one today. No, hang on. We are going to go to break early because these segments run so long. So if we get some bumper music up here, fine. If not, we'll just go to break. Back with more Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. If you have ever thrown a trick worm in methylate color, then we're going to talk to one of the guys that is works for that company. He's got a great job. That is Chris Baxter with Zoom Fishing. Chris, how are you today?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Good. You have one of the best jobs in the world. I'm sorry. You get to go play with fishing worms during the day, and then you get to go fishing on the weekends.
Yeah, it's got its benefits. It's like any other job out there. We always have ups and downs there.
Yeah.
Running a production facility, but all in all, I'm pretty blessed.
You are blessed in more than one ways, and we're going to get into that a little bit later on. How long you been at Zoom? I mean, I've been down to see you, and you gave me a tour and all, but I forget how long you've been there. But you've been there a very long time.
Yeah, I can't even remember the exact date I started. It was in the 90s, probably, I will say, back during Jerry Ryan, Hungry Fisherman days, like early 92, 93, you know, probably went full-time, you know, around 95, 1995, that is.
And you also fish professionally, Chris Baxter Fishing. What tournament trails are you on these days?
I'm currently fishing just FLW and just a couple local ones here around, you know, the Skeeter Bass Challenge, stuff like that.
I got you. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the Hooked on Hope tournament you and I, Neil Paul, have going on, and GOCA and the Cancer Alliance of Cancer Association of Anderson have going on June 3rd on Lake Harwell. But I kind of want to set the background for the whole relationship. And you and your wife have a special story, and it leads into this tournament and the Georgia Ovarian Cancer Alliance. So take just a minute and tell us your story and how you came to be associated with GOCA.
Well, it's kind of strange, you know, for a man to talk about ovarian cancer. So 5 years ago, my wife was diagnosed with stage 3 ovarian cancer. And, you know, like most of us, the first thought is worried to death. You know,
sure.
You want to fix it. You know, being a man, we want to jump right in there and fix something real quick.
Right.
So after being diagnosed in emergency surgery, we stepped right in and started chemo for treatment for trying to eliminate the cancer.
Right.
Upon entry into the chemotherapy program at Northside Hospital in Atlanta, we were presented a bag of hope from Georgia Ovarian Cancer Alliance. And upon taking out all the items while she was being hooked up to the first infusion, I started noticing just all their branding and their logo
right. Was
on everything they gave us. And me being in the business I'm in, the first thing that popped into my head was, you know, I need to get involved. I need to do something with this.
Sure.
And then I reached out to our advertising people, and I had them put a proposal together to wrap the boat to start spreading the ovarian cancer awareness. To my delight, 4 months later, the board voted on it and approved the wrap. You know, they didn't think our demographic of people would interest, you know, would be any kind of thing for them to gain.
Sure.
However, all the markets in Atlanta were tapped. You know, everybody had their hand out for
right.
any kind of fundraiser, black tie affair.
Right.
And there's only so much that people can give.
Sure.
And by me getting involved with GOCA and starting traveling and representing GOCA, you know, having a fully wrapped rig up and down the highways, we were reaching into demographics that never was thought of. And it opened a lot of doors. We now have a race car that's sponsored by GOCA. You know, we have a boat. You know, bottom line is there's more than one way to reach people and to spread ovarian cancer awareness and through fishing. Over the past 5 years, it's been a great tool just to save a life. You know, at the end of the day, we're trying to save one life or educate a family about ovarian cancer.
Right. Yeah, that's the difference that GOCA plays in this whole thing. They're not focused on the research and cure and all that. They're focused on education, because from what I understand, the symptoms of ovarian cancer are pretty broad, and there's not a test to identify it at this point, but they're focused on that education and then the care after. And you brought up the bag of hope. What are some of the things that are in that bag of hope? Because to me, it's a really neat and focused on the recovering victim bag to give them encouragement that others have been here.
Right. You know, the first thing that goes into people's minds is, you know, they're scared to go to the infusion center to get, you know, to start their therapy. And never been down that road, most people, you know, men and women that go into an infusion center, they don't know what they need, but they, you know, it's a learning process.
Right.
Through this bag of hope, we give you a stocking cap because, you know, you're going to lose your hair. It keeps you warm there. It's a blanket. It's a diary to keep up, you know, just your thoughts through the whole process. A water bottle to stay hydrated. Little booty socks that you can wear to keep your feet warm. It's just comfort items that you wouldn't normally think of taking to an infusion center.
Right. Yeah, like you said, nobody knows what to expect until you get there.
That's right.
Which brings us to the fishing tournament, which is something that you and Doug at GOCA started a few years ago and have had a run out. We can bring it to the Green Pond Landing and Event Center this year. How do people get involved in fishing? Or if, you know, if they're not interested in fishing the Hooked on Hope tournament, how do they get a hold of GOCA to support the mission of either education? And we need to talk about what they do on the education side too. But, and why don't we do that? Talk about the education. How does GOCA spread this word about ovarian cancer detection and treatment?
We have numerous ways to spread ovarian cancer awareness. The first thing that really pops into my head that is open and anybody can to reach out to GOCA and get this is it's called a lunch and learn session. We'll go into any facility that wants to learn about ovarian cancer and try to educate, you know, the women and families there. They'll have a lunch and learn session where they bring in lunch for whoever attends, and they'll bring in a couple of specialists. It might be an oncologist. It might be a survivor. It might be somebody that's actually going through the treatment itself, you know, in the early stages. We're just trying to get in front of as many people as we can with the biggest audience just to try to save one life at the end of the day.
I gotcha. All right. How do they get a hold of GOCA to schedule one of those or to contribute to?
You can log on to georgiaovariancancer.org and reach out to them and send an email, or you can contact them through Facebook at Georgia Ovarian Cancer Alliance. You can reach out to myself. You know, there's numerous ways to schedule that or to even learn about it.
Okay.
You can even log on to YouTube and look at a couple of videos from our past Black Tie Affairs and see how many people are involved.
You mentioned Black Tie Affairs, and it doesn't translate over to bass fishing too well, but this is how we get ourselves involved is on the fishing side. Hooked on Hope is going to be on Lake Hartwell June the 3rd. Tell us a little bit about the tournament, and it's $150 to get in. It's a team event. Let's roll with it and try to get a few people out on the water.
Yeah, and, you know, mainly at the end of the day, it's all about having fun, and we're trying to get as many people on the water to come and support the mission and the tournament. This is our first year being at Green Pond. We've been down south in the past and had great success, and Visit Anderson and Green Pond Landing has been very generous to reach out and help support this event. You know, Cancer Association of Anderson has gotten involved. You know, for $150, you can come out, you know, no matter how many boats show up, the minimum we're going to give away is $2,000 in the first place,
right,
and then pay on down the scale. More boats we get, the more money we want to get into the fishermen's hands. At the end of the day, you know, we're hoping some of the fishermen will be generous enough to give back, to make donations. You know, it's just not open to fishermen. Families can come out. We're going to have, you know, education there.
Okay.
There'll be something there at the park to do during the day. And it's an event to look to grow into the future. You know, the first time is always the biggest hurdle.
Right.
You know, just getting people involved and, you know, getting the community behind us and support us, which we've already stepped into that and got a good role there.
And one other thing is we're going to have some silent auction items there at the weigh-in for people to bid on.
Right. We're going to have numerous sponsors and myself and, you know, through GOCA has stepped up and provided us generous prizes. The PH Marines has thrown in some stuff. High Seas Fishing Line. Everybody that enters is going to get a goodie bag full of stuff. You know, Zoom Bait, High Seas Fishing Line, G Juice from TH Marine to help keep fish alive since we're fishing in the hot months. You know,
right,
it's important to keep our resource alive and, you know, protect that because, you know, at the end of the day, those fish need to get back in the water and stay healthy so we can catch them again next year for this event.
Yeah, I mean, it's a win all around. We get to go fishing for a day. We get to help out the Georgia Ovarian Cancer Alliance, the Cancer Association of Anderson. The fish get a little shot of energy in the live wells, and they get to go home at the end of the day, too.
That's right. They just get a free ride all day long and, you know, help us spread ovarian cancer awareness.
All right. And I'm fishing this one. I am tired of sitting on the bank or in a spectator boat or in a media boat watching everybody else catch fish. I am in this one to win it. So beware, I may run you off the water.
Well, that's good, because I'm right now at this point, I don't even know if I'm fishing.
Oh!
I'm still boatless. I had a bad wreck a couple weeks ago traveling to and from tournament.
Yep.
And I'm still on the sidelines. I kind of had scrapped my whole year. I was leading angler of the year and so forth. And basically, everything went down the drain in one little wreck. You know, at the end of the day, we can replace boats and trailers, but we can't replace a life.
That's exactly right. And I saw that wreck, and you were, well, you know who was watching out over you on that day?
That's right. You know, I'm just thankful I was paying attention and saw it coming to get out of the way as best I could.
Unreal. And it happens that quickly.
That's right. And it's just like ovarian cancer. You know, backing up to there's no test, you know, most women, when they go to the gynecologist, they're not looking for ovarian cancer.
Right.
So, you know, at the tournament, we're going to give out symptom cards to everybody. We're going to have them in the bag of goodies. And, you know, that's the single most important tool that we have to prevent ovarian cancer is it's a business card size symptom card. You can keep it in your desk drawer, your wallet. You can pass it on to a loved one. It's got just general symptoms, which, you know, ironically, men have the same symptoms listed on there. So it's kind of scary when you sit down and look at it.
Wow.
But regardless of the fact is, you know, when most women get there to the gynecologist, they're not really looking for ovarian cancer. They're checking you for cervical cancer and so forth. There is a blood test called a CA125 blood test, which will show elevated levels to indicate signs of ovarian cancer.
Okay. Well, you know, for a couple of guys, and I didn't do much talking, you did most of it, we did a great job of covering a woman's issue, and I appreciate it.
That's right. You know, I tell everybody, you know, when I'm traveling, people come up to me all the time at a gas pump and ask, you know, my affiliation with Goka and what I'm doing. Is, you know, it's catching their eye, so the rap is working. But I know more about women and ovaries than probably most men should ever know.
And that's why you're such a good spokesman about it, Chris. And that's why I wanted to get you on the show to talk about both ovarian cancer and the Hooked on Hope tournament we got coming up.
Yeah, it's been very great. You know, I'm thankful to have them behind me and myself behind them because it's a win-win for both of us. I've learned a lot. I've been able to educate many people along my path of treatment with my wife, tournament fishing, and SLW always gives me ample time to talk about ovarian cancer, and they're a strong supporter of it. And everybody, you know, is affected by cancer this day and time, you know. It might be a loved one, it might be a friend, but we all have experienced it. We know what it's like. You know, most of us know what it's like firsthand because we're dealing with somebody in the family that's going through treatment.
That's right.
You know, the more people we can save at the end of the day and just educate how to get checked, you know, just take care of yourself.
And in the end, your wife is cured, right?
Well, technically, it's not cured because our doctor will not say cancer-free. They don't like to use that term loosely.
Okay.
However, we just hit our five-year anniversary, and we have a checkup coming up in July, and everything's pointing to clear signs.
Very good.
So if we get the clear checkup in July, hopefully we'll be good to go for the next year. It's been a long road. It's been going from a biweekly to every 3 weeks to a monthly to every 3 months. And we're almost to the year mark where we can, you know, just start getting checked once a year now.
Yeah, my wife had skin cancer, and I remember those, you know, full body checks every month. And went to 3 months, 6 months. And when you hit that annual stage, you're like, sigh of relief. The doctor actually thinks I can go that long, and there's hopefully not a chance it's going to come back.
That's right. You know, and you know, we don't know what the future holds, but right now we can just treasure what we have today.
Yep. Well, that's great. Well, if you're interested in getting involved, it's Georgia Ovarian Cancer Alliance, Cancer Association of Anderson. The tournament is Hooked on Hope. You can find the registration information at hookedonhope.net. Appreciate all our sponsors, Green Pond Landing and Event Center, Palmetto Boat Center, Visit Anderson, Anderson County, Chris Baxter Fishing. The little part I play here on the show of being involved, I'm honored to be there. Chris Baxter, I appreciate you taking time out to be on Woods and Water South Carolina. I look forward to talking with you soon. And if you have any questions, come out to Green Pond Landing, stop by the George Ovarian Cancer Alliance Center and pick up a symptom card and find out more about ovarian cancer. Chris Baxter, thanks for being on Woods and Water South Carolina.
Thank y'all for having me. I really enjoyed it. Look forward to seeing y'all in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. And all the fishermen out there, go buy Zoom methylate trickworms. They're great.
We appreciate all the support. We really do. We're very blessed to have such a strong following.
It is. And it's a great company. Chris Baxter, thanks very much. Appreciate you doing it. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Appreciate Chris doing that for me. I'm looking forward to fishing it. I practiced a day a couple of weeks ago in Lake Hartwell, Austin Bradbury from the University of South Carolina club, and we did pretty good. And then yesterday these two high school kids brought in like 18 pounds. And I saw Austin there, and I'm like, yeah, this does not bode well for us because we only had about 13. So anyway, if you're interested in fishing, come out and fish. If you just want to contribute to either cause, look them up on the website. They'll take contributions online. I wanted to say congratulations to all the South Carolina teams that went to Louisville, Kentucky and competed in the National Archery and School Program National Tournament. I'm going to brag just a minute on Taylor, my daughter, who you know on the show. She's seventh grade, shooting for the Upstate Homeschool Hurricanes. She ranked 741st out of 6,762 overall girls in the tournament. She ranked 270 out of 2,706 middle school girls, and she ranked 94th out of 999 grade 7 girls. She shot a 277 out of 300, and who knew I could be so nervous watching her shoot? And speaking of Taylor, and I'll make this real quick, I don't ask for prayer often. She is going to have some knee surgery this coming Friday before Memorial Day. If you have a chance during the day that day to say a quick prayer, I would appreciate it. I know she would. Nothing serious, just cleaning up a little tissue in the knee, and she'll be good as gold. Coming back, we're going to talk to Henry Barnett about boating safety on More Woods and Water, South Carolina. This is not really a job, it's an adventure. And during all my adventures, whether it be National Archery and School Program shoots, Sporting Clays events, Sportsman's Classic, or just any place I go, I keep running into the same people dressed in green. And one of my really good friends is Lance Corporal Henry Barnett. He's from here in the Upstate. It just seems like we see each other all over the place, and we just hit it off.
We do. Our paths cross frequently.
And always in a good time, too.
Always on good, yeah.
And I think that's important when we talk about law enforcement and game laws and boater safety that we're going to talk about today, is being positive, having a positive image of the people out there. Yeah, they'll give you a ticket if you're doing something wrong, but they're mostly out there to prevent stuff from going bad and you getting hurt.
That's correct. Yeah, our job is public safety. Yeah. And we have to remind folks, just, you know, so many people at work, in their workplace, their safety's job one, safety's first, and they kind of get that driven at work. And a lot of times when they're off, they want to kind of relax and just enjoy, and they kind of put their defense mechanisms down. But I encourage folks just to kind of keep that skill set that they carry from work of safety and bring it out here when they're outdoors and with their kids, with their family, with their friends, and you know, implement that. It's so important that they keep that skill set at hand, and because so many times out here, be it hunting or boating or ATV incident, those people just look at us with that deer in the headlight look and say, you know, I never thought this would happen to me.
So that's right.
It's so important.
Well, we see each other all over the place, and today we're sitting here at Lake Hartwell, Green Pond Landing, talking about boating safety. What a
appropriate place to talk about boating safety. We've got Memorial Day weekend coming up, and you and I both agreed it'd be a great time to talk a little boating safety, just to remind people, here are the rules, here's what you need to have on your boat, so you can have an enjoyable holiday weekend.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's going to – here come the 100 days of summer. That's what it. We refer to it in law enforcement, and going to be upon us, and so we need to be prepared and ready to face it. Before we know it, it'll be Labor Day weekend.
And kids will be going back to school. Kids, you didn't hear that. Enjoy summer. First of all, what are the laws on boater education in South Carolina?
Boating education in South Carolina, right now there's not a required boater operator's license. There's been some legislative looks at that, but nothing has been firmed or materialized there. Right now, it's basically the way it reads. It's mandatory for all resident and non-resident boaters that are under the age of 16 to have successfully completed a boater education course that's approved by the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources before operating without supervision a watercraft such as a jet ski or a boat that's powered by 15 horsepower or greater. But we encourage all boaters, nonetheless, folks that are just interested in boating, to take a class and be familiar with boating.
And you teach those classes?
I do. Yes, sir. I'm in the education section, and so we teach boater ed this time of the year. Be teaching that probably through August. And we actually teach it year-round, but sure. The meat of it is here in the summer when everybody's thinking boating.
You got some classes coming up here on boater education?
We do. We got some across the upstate, June 3rd at Cabela's. Again, June 22nd over at the Clemson DNR office in Clemson. And June 24th up in Pickens County up at the Holly Springs Center. That's going to be on a Saturday. And again, back June 24th at Cabela's. And so we've got some weekday and weekend classes, okay. Again, back over at the Clemson DNR office. And if somebody's interested in hosting a boater ed class, we encourage them to give us a call. But if they go to our website, dnr.sc.gov, click on the education icon, or there might be a boater ed icon right there. Click on that, put your zip code in, and it will show you what classes are available to you, say, within a 50-mile area. So it's very informative.
Boating safety starts with rules like everything else, and there's rules for the road for boaters just like there are rules for road for car drivers or whatever.
Correct.
And those help you avoid accidents. Rules of the road, run them down for us.
Yeah, first and foremost, just, you know, we want people to come out and have a good time, but also to operate in a safe and responsible manner, practicing good seamanship. Just being courteous, you know. Everybody's out there to have a good time, and sometimes it gets a little stressful based on the density of boats in a particular area. But, you know, we all need to be responsible. We're out in the general public. We're all out there to have a good time. But be responsible for your boat and the actions of your boat, the people on your vessel. You know, that captain, he's responsible for the people on board. So, but it's just necessary, to know things about boating, who has the right of way, how to safely and correctly avoid, take action to avoid a collision. The number one, cause of a boating incident in the state of South Carolina, the past few years is just simple, not maintaining a proper, lookout. The operator is inattentive to what's going on.
Right.
You know, they've come out to have a good time on the lake, but be the landscape, looking at the houses, the conversation in the boat, the distraction from the folks on board, whatever it might be. So many times it's just as simple as they're not looking where they're going, and it's so important to remember to maintain a sharp lookout, as that is the number one contributor. But, you know, other elements, safe speed, and that's contingent on a lot of things, traffic volume, weather conditions, visibility, the time of day, you know, the basic, what's that operator's experience level? Do they have less than 10 hours in operating? Do they have more than 100? But just follow the rules of navigation, be that courteous boater, and pay attention to those navigational aids that are out there.
got a few little people coming down to enjoy the lake this afternoon, don't we?
got the tunes.
Got the tunes rolling. Yeah. You know, my dad, when I started driving, said, head on a swivel. And it's no different when you're out there on the water. Your head's got to be on a swivel when you're in control of that boat. Or even as a passenger. You know, yeah, the boat captain's responsible. But, man, when you're a guy sitting beside him, you know, you can almost watch half of what the boater's trying to watch while he's driving and help him out.
So imperative for that operator to have good field of vision around him, situational awareness. You know, that's why it's important where people are placed sitting in the boat, not to block the view of that operator.
One of the biggest things you can do to avoid, or if you happen to have an accident, one of the things that's going to keep you alive is your life jacket.
Yes.
Rules on life jackets, and one thing that I want to hit is size appropriate. We talk about that a lot. You don't go buy an adult life jacket and stick it on a 7-year-old kid.
Correct. Yeah, life jackets for us are a zero tolerance issue throughout the state. Just so important. And that's that is true on public waters, on private waters, on Granddaddy's farm pond or, you know, Uncle Joe's pond over there. That's considered private water. But we recommend safety equipment there. But when you come to public waters, it is essential safety equipment. Again, on a vessel, it's that captain's responsibility to ensure there's an ample quantity of PFDs for all persons on board or those being towed, and that they're size appropriate for the intended wearer, and that they are in good serviceable condition and readily accessible. When we say readily accessible, we're not talking about in a bag or wrapped in the plastic that they came in when they were purchased. So things like that. And if, keep in mind too, if a vessel is less than 16 feet, then all persons under the age of 12 must properly wear their life jackets. The sizing of those PFDs are going to be based on body weight and chest size. And it'll also have a label showing that it's U.S. Coast Guard approved. When we talk about those different sizes, you'll see sizes specific for infants, toddlers, youth, less than 90 pounds, adult greater than 90 pounds. Then we'll get up to XL, 2XL. And so it's very important to make sure that those life jackets are size appropriate and that they're Coast Guard approved. A lot of times the box stores, you know, they're in business to sell merchandise. And so people go in and they see these life jackets that look cool for the kids, or the kids, ooh, mama, I'd like to buy that. I want that one. That's got jelly beans, or it's got the, you know, my cartoon character, my hero on there. And you purchase it and you look at the label inside and it notes that this is not a personal flotation device. This is a flotation aid.
Okay.
So very important to recognize what is and what isn't. But again, size is appropriate.
That's one of those required safety equipment that you must have on a boat. And DNR is going to offer a bunch of checks over the Memorial Day weekend spread all across the state at different lakes, different boat ramps along the coast and all. What are some of the other required pieces of safety equipment you got to have on your boat before you hit the water this summer?
Well, when we talk about non-powered vessels, let's talk about like kayaks, canoes, or the greatest new fad is paddle boards. Those are considered non-powered vessels. So their basic requirement is a size appropriate life jacket for everyone on board. They don't have to have it on, but they've got to have it. But yet remember that dimension, if it's less than 16 feet and they're under the age of 12,
they have to be wearing it.
They'll have to be wearing it.
Okay.
And then the other element that they'll need is a sounding device, a whistle or horn. So each one of those, each kayak needs its own whistle or horn individually. And a great place to put it is right there at the neck of the, on the chest of, excuse me, the chest of the life jacket, where it's easily accessible, because a lot of times they've proven in distress, the human voice won't last more than 2 to 3 minutes.
Okay.
And if you can access that whistle and hit it, and get somebody's attention to come to you, you're better off. But, know too, if that whistle's up there on the key switch of the boat and you're in the water, it's not going to do you a lot of good.
That's right.
But other elements there, safety equipment, if your fuel tank is detachable. It's in an open, let's say we're in a John boat or right. a V-hole fishing mm-hmm. boat. It's, we won't need a fire extinguisher if we're under 16 feet.
Okay.
If we're greater than 16 feet, we'd need it. If we're in a bass boat and we've got a gas tank that's closed in the compartment, or if we're in a, say a center console and our fuel tank is actually in the hull of the vessel, then we're going to need that, fire extinguisher. And the type we're going to need is a B1.
Okay.
That's for, combustibles. That's for gas.
All right.
And again, you know, if you're in a smaller boat, it doesn't hurt to have one because
sure.
it's like an insurance marker. You might not need it, but somebody that you come across, may be grateful and appreciative, that you've got it.
Okay.
A Type 4 throwable. Again, if your vessel's less than 16 feet, that's not required. But I'm here to tell you, the years I grew up fishing in a little V-hole or John boat.
You turn those over a whole lot more than you turn over a bass boat.
They were comfortable to sit
that's
on.
That's true. You're right.
And there again, if you came across somebody that was in distress, you can throw that. You know, the Type 1, 2, 3, or Type 5 life jackets, if you attempt to throw those, it's like throwing a bag of potato chips.
Right.
It's not going to go far.
Right.
So that Type 4 is required. And again, we go back to the sounding device, the whistler horn. And then it's not necessarily a piece of safety equipment, but it's just a requirement. If that vessel is motorized, then it's going to need to be registered, titled,
right. mm-hmm.
and have those registration numbers and registration decal. You know, if I have a kayak or canoe and I put a trolling motor on it, based on Webster's Dictionary, that boat, that vessel has become motorized.
Right.
So, and again, that's only if we're on public waters.
Gotcha. Final thing, because this stuff always takes longer than we have. We don't ever have enough time.
That's right.
Consumption of alcohol in boating.
Yes.
It's a big deal. I don't think a lot of people that drink know how fast hot days and sunlight, you know, works with alcohol. What are the state laws or the boating rules regarding alcohol consumption?
Basically, in South Carolina, the law prohibits anyone from operating a moving motorized vessel or a boat under sail in the waters of the state, and that's, again, on public waters, while under the influence of alcohol, drugs, or any combination of alcohol and drugs.
Okay.
We know as adults that the impaired drug and alcohol and drugs cause impaired balance, blurred vision, poor coordination, impaired judgment, slower reaction time. We see alcohol as a factor, a major factor. There are days that we don't see it at all out on the lake, which are good. We welcome that, but there are days, and we see people that are responsible. They've got a designated operator, but the same out here on the road where it's at a 0.08 BAC, blood alcohol, concentration, that's where we are out here for BUIs.
Okay.
A BUI does not affect your driver's license. Okay, it doesn't affect your car insurance, anything thereof. It's a simple monetary fine. The boater loses their privileges to operate a vessel. It's actually suspended really indefinitely until they successfully complete an alcohol drug safety action program or an ADSAP class at their expense and successfully complete a South Carolina boating safety class, okay? And, you know, our instructor-led classes are free.
Okay.
So, again, it's just getting people to come out and understand that. Monetarily, you know, to kind of get some people's attention, a BUI, the monetary fine can go up to 6 months.
Okay.
And it carries up to 3 years of imprisonment. A felony BUI, there again, that's a little different. It's a little more to that if we've had property damage or bodily injury or death, then that penalty monetarily, it steps up to $25,000 and up to 25 years imprisonment.
Wow.
So, you know, and there again, something folks need to remember is a person who operates in a vessel in South Carolina is considered to have given implied consent to a chemical test or breath analysis, blood or urine. Okay, when they operate a vessel in the state, that's just it's in the statute there. So that's, but it's so important people understand, you know, you get out here, it's a hot day, you're somewhat dehydrated, you haven't eaten, that one drink may have an effect on you as three. Okay. If you were, you know, alcohol we know is a depressant on the central nervous system, and it affects your judgment and reaction time. And we're out here on the water, these boats don't have brakes.
No, they don't.
And it's so critical to have, be alert. You know,
yeah.
What we said earlier in the conversation about maintaining that proper lookout, that safe lookout. So
you and I were talking before, we've already had 4 deaths in the state this year on the water.
Right.
And whole purpose of this is to just inform you, because we don't want you to be number 5.
No. Last year we had 23 fatalities due to boating accidents across the state. As we've said before, one is too many.
Absolutely. So. Well, I tell you, that water looks awfully good out there on the lake. We hope you all get out there this summer and enjoy it to the fullest. Only thing we ask is you know what you're doing while you're out there, you pay attention, and at the end of the day, you load the boat back up on the trailer and you go home.
For another day and come back again.
That's it. Henry, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you, see you, talk to you. Appreciate you doing this for us and for everyone listening.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Bear with me. I'm still learning some of this new technology I've got on the show, and I think I need some little fuzzy things to put over those microphones on that recorder because it's sensitive stuff. The calendar this week is brought to you by Visit Anderson and Green Pond Landing and Event Center, and we have Mr. Matt Schell from Green Pond Landing and Event Center on the line. Matt, how are you today?
I'm all right, Roger. How are you today?
I am great. I hate we don't have more time to go over this, but we got about 5 minutes here to talk about the Saluda River Rally, which is, and this is your big thing down there, isn't it?
It is. It is the one park department event that we actually sink a lot of money to, bring a lot of partners to the table to really get people connected to the river, get them out there on the Saluda River fishing or kayaking or just having some family fellowship.
That's a great thing. Saturday, June the 3rd, Saluda River Rally. It's everything it has been and more. So tell us what the has been in a couple of minutes, and then tell us the more in the last couple of minutes.
Real quickly, the has been, it's been a 2-day event for the past 7 years. We've covered 15 miles of river over 2 days.
Okay.
We've brought out bluegrass, local bands, outdoor recreation vendors, sponsors, to get you kind of between, you know, in the Powdersville area and at Powdersville down to Piedmont. The biggest change this year is we have a major sponsor. It's Enel Green Power. They actually run the hydropower plant in Piedmont. We've been working with them for the past couple of years on some river development, possible improvements for the future. And they came on this year to sponsor us, help us put on this event, and actually give us exclusive permission and granted access around the dam. So this year, instead of just being 6 miles on Saturday, then 9 miles on Sunday, we're doing a whole 15-mile paddle potentially on Saturday for those that want to take it on. So you're leaving Powdersville, you're traveling 9 miles south to Piedmont, and then 6 miles south to Pelzer and West Pelzer. We got a great intermission in between, taken out from these ADA accessible kayak launchers that we have on the river. We have 3 of them. A brand new one is being delivered in 2 weeks.
Okay.
And it just really, access for everyone, truly.
And it's, you know, there's a song out there called No Hurry by Zac Brown. And you're sitting lazy, having no hurry today. And that's what you are on the Saluda River floats. You're just not in a hurry. You're just soaking it all in and having a great time.
That's right. Yeah, the river actually will carry you most of the way on its own. The average flow is 3 miles an hour, so you're definitely not in a hurry. The portage point in Piedmont does allow you a little bit of chance to get to know the folks at Little River Grill, who are a big partner with the River Rally and Special Olympics. But it is just a great time to enjoy some river-like paddling as well as some lake-like paddling. It is a regional event that has brought people as far as 4 or 5 states in the past few years. Last year we brought out 500 people on Saturday alone. So we're looking for some big numbers. It is required that you bring your own kayak this year. We aren't able to do any complimentary kayaks, but $25 gets you a free t-shirt, a barbecue plate at Saluda River Grill, a campsite dolly if you'd like to take that up Friday or Saturday night. and the shuttle bus from either Piedmont or Pelzer all the way back to Dolly. So it's for $25, you really can't get more of a full day on the river with family and friends. You don't have to worry about much at all.
No, and if you don't have your own kayak, man, there are plenty of places that will rent you a kayak for the day.
That's exactly right. Sunrift and Travelers Rest has an extensive amount. Grady's, I think, was starting to run low already. We've gotten some hits there and some traffic through those stores. We do have an Eventbrite site. Our website is SaluterRiverRally.com.
Okay.
Again, it's SaluterRiverRally.com, and from there you can navigate through. There's an online registration, completely safe and secure. But it's the best way to actually set up your launch time, because in order to paddle the 5 miles, which takes you from Pattersville down to Pelzer, you do need, or the 15 miles, you do need 5 hours. You do need to assume that the approximate time is going to be 5 hours. So you need to launch between 8 and 11 in the morning, but we'll get you back to Dolly Cooper by 5 o'clock and ready to you know, have your evening somewhere camping with us Saturday night.
Yeah, it's important that you register and get your launch time, because that determines the shuttle schedules and what time they pick you up at the end of the day, too.
That's right. And certainly a portion of the proceeds the entirety of the proceeds, this is a Special Olympics event fundraiser to help raise money to send a couple of the athletes to the national games. And it's, you know, something they've been partnered with us ever since the first one. So this is year 8. It's going to be a record year. We're traveling, you know, we're portaging around the dam, going 15 miles. It's one not to miss for sure, Roger.
Matt Shell, I appreciate you coming on. I hate our time is limited. Did a great job. I hope people come out in droves for you, my friend.
All right, we'll look forward to seeing you. Thanks, Roger. Sir. Have a great day.
You do the same.
Bye-bye.
I told you, you can take your seatbelts off now. That's a full one. But as always, I appreciate you being here. Tune in next week. Make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget that camera. Next week on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
From behind, 'cause I'm gone to Carolina.